Good evening, and welcome to Bethel Actors Guild's production of Charles Dickens' celebrated holiday story, A Christmas Carol, presented live on KYUK and in person at the UB Pichirirai Cultural Center in Bethel. Bethel Actors Guild is grateful to our community here in Bethel for their continued support of the arts. Happy holidays and enjoy the show.
And 6 makes 28 pounds. 4 shillings. What do you want in here?
Well, my fire's nearly out, sir, and I thought I would take 1 or 2 lumps of coal, and I just...
You think more of your personal comforts than you do of your business and my interest.
Well, the room, sir, it's just very cold, and all I...
Work, sir, work, and I'll warrant that you'll keep warm. If you persist in this wanton waste of coals, you and I will have to part. 4 shillings and 9 pence.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Ah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. You don't mean that, I'm sure.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Come then, what right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You're rich enough.
Bah, humbug.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older, but not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and having every item in them through a round dozen of months presented dead against you? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should.
Uncle.
Nephew, keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it, but you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good it has ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited. I dare say Christmas among the rest. But I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time when it came around, apart from the veneration due to its sacred name and origin. If anything, belonging to it can be apart from that, is a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem, by one consent, to open their shut-up hearts freely, and to think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave, and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good, and will do me good. And I say God bless it!
Let me hear another sound from you, Bob, and you'll keep Christmas by losing your situation. You're quite a powerful speaker, sir. I wonder you don't go into Parliament.
Don't be cross, Uncle. Come dine with us tomorrow.
I'd see you in blazes first.
But why? Why?
Why did you get married?
Oh, because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love? The only thing in the world more ridiculous than a Merry Christmas. Good afternoon.
Nay, Uncle, but you never came to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?
Good afternoon.
I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why cannot we be friends?
Good afternoon.
Oh, I am sorry with all my heart to find you so resolute. We have never had any quarrel to which I've been a party. But I have made the trial an homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
A Merry Christmas.
The same to you and many of them.
There's another fellow, my clerk, with 15 shillings a week and a wife and family, talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to the lunatic asylum.
Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
We have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the union workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are, though I wish I could say that they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it.
Under the impression that they scarcely furnish Christian cheer of mind or body to the multitude, a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We chose this time because it is a time, of all others, when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous.
I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is my answer. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough, and those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they had rather die, they'd better do it, and decrease the surplus population. Besides, excuse me, I don't know that.
But you might know it.
It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
It is useless. We may as well withdraw.
God rest you merry, gentlemen. Let nothing you do.
Be gone! I'll have none of your kettles here. You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. If I was to stop half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound. And yet, you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
It's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier the next morning.
Oh, I will, sir.
Pooh! Pooh! Marty's dead 7 years tonight. Impossible! Nobody under the table, nobody under the couch. Nobody in the closet. Nobody nowhere. Bah, humbug! Shade.
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Can you sit down?
I can.
Do it then.
You don't believe in me?
I don't.
What evidence do you require of my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug, I tell you, humbug.
Mercy! Dreadful apparition! Why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do. I must. But why do spirits walk the earth? And why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow man and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world. Oh, woe is me! And witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth, turned to happiness.
You are fettered. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was as full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
Jacob? Oh, Jacob Bonney, tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob.
I have none to give. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other lands of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all that is permitted to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me. In life, my spirit never rode beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hall. And weary journeys lie before me.
You must have been very slow about it, Jacob.
Slow?
7 years dead, and traveling all the time.
The old time, no rest, no peace, incessant tortures of remorse.
You travel fast?
On the wings of the wind.
You might have got over a great quantity of ground in 7 years, Jacob.
Oh, captive bound in double iron, not to know that ages of incessant labor by immortal creatures, for this earth must pass into eternity before the good of which is susceptible is all developed. Not to know that any Christian spirit walking kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused. Yet, such was I. Oh, such was I.
But you were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. At the time of the rolling year, I suffer most. Why did I walk through the crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to the blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no poor houses to which its light would have conducted me? Hear me, my time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard upon me. Don't be flowery, Jacob, pray.
How is it that I appear before you in a shape that you can see and may not tell? I have sat invisible beside you many and many a day. That is no light part of my penance. I am here tonight to warn you that you have a chance and a hope of escaping my fate. A chance and a hope of my procuring, Ebenezer.
You were always a good friend to me. Thank you.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
Is that the chance and hope you mentioned, Jacob?
It is.
I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls 1.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over, Jacob?
Expect the 2nd on the next night at the same hour, the 3rd on the night following when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more, and look that for your own sake you remember what has passed between us.
Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
New. Your past.
May I make bold to inquire what business has brought you here?
Your welfare.
I am much obliged. But I think a night of unbroken rest would be more conducive to that end.
Your reclamation, then. Take heed. Observe the shadows of the past, and profit by the recollection of them.
What would you have me do?
Remain where you are, while your memory recalls the past.
Good heavens! I was a boy. It's the old school. And it's the Christmas I was left alone.
Oh, you remember it?
Yes, yes. I know. I was reading all about Alibaba. Dear old honest Alibaba. And Valentine and his wild brother, Orson. And the Sultan's groom turned upside down by the genie. Served him right. I'm glad of it. What business had he to be married to the princess? There's the parrot, green body and yellow tail, with a thing like lettuce growing out of the top of his head. There he is. Poor Robinson Crusoe. Where have you been, Robinson Crusoe? There goes Friday, running for his life to the little creek. Halloo, hoop-halloo! Poor boy.
Strange to have forgotten all this for so many years.
I wish... But it's too late now.
Why, what is the matter?
Nothing. Nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Dear brother, I've come to bring you home, dear brother. To bring you home, home, home.
Home, little fan?
Yes. Home for good and all. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be that home is like heaven. He spoke so gently to me one dear night when I was going to bed that I was not afraid to ask him once more if you might come home. And he said, yes, you should, and sent me a coach to bring you. And you're to be a man and to never come back here. But first, we're to be together all the Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world.
You're quite a woman, little fan.
Bring down Master Scrooge's box there.
Always such a delicate creature. From one breath might have withered away. But she had such a large heart.
So she had. You're right. I will not gainsay it, spirit. Lord forbid.
She died a woman. And had, as I think, children.
One child?
True. Your nephew.
Yes.
Let us see another Christmas. Do you know it?
Know it? I was apprenticed here. Why, it's old Fezziwig. Bless his heart, it's Fezziwig alive again. And Mrs. Fezziwig, too. Dick Wilkins, to be sure, with Fezziwig's two daughters. Bless me, yes, there he is. He was very much attached to me, was Dick. Poor Dick. And see me, cutting the pigeon wing. Dear, dear, dear.
It's such a small matter to make this, and folks, ha, happy, ha, ha, and so full of gratitude.
Small? Why, old Fezziwig was one of the best men that ever lived. He never missed giving his employees a Christmas ball.
Why, it is not. He spent but a few pounds of money. Maybe 3 or 4 pounds, perhaps. It is that so much that he deserves your praise?
It isn't that, Spirit. He had the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our services light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. Say that his power lives in words and looks, in things so light and insignificant that it is impossible to add and count them up. What then? The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it had cost a fortune. Oh, dear.
Why, what is the matter?
Nothing particular.
Oh, something, I think.
No, no. I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk just now, that's all.
My time grows short. Let us hurry on. Do you remember this?
It is Belle, as sure as I'm a living sinner.
It matters little to you. To you, very little. Another idol has displaced me, and if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve.
What idol has displaced you?
A golden one.
This is the even-handed dealing of the world. There is nothing on which it is so hard as poverty, and there is nothing it professes to condemn with such severity as the pursuit of wealth.
You fear the world too much. All your other hopes have been merged into the hope of being beyond the chance of its sordid reproach. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one until the master passion gain engrosses you. Have I not?
What then? Even if I have grown so much wiser, what then? I am not changed toward you, am I?
Our contract is an old one. It was made when we were both poor and content to be so, until in good season we could improve our worldly fortune by our patient industry. You are changed. When it was made, you were another man.
I was a boy.
Your own feeling tells you that you are not what you are. I am. That which promised happiness when we were one in heart is fraught with misery now that we are two. How often and how keenly I have thought of this, I will not say. It is enough that I have thought of it and can release you.
Have I ever sought release?
In words? No, never.
In what, then?
In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in another atmosphere of life, another hope as to its great end, in everything that made my love of any worth or value in your sight. If this had never been between us, tell me, would you seek me out and try to win me now? No.
You think not?
I would gladly think otherwise if I could, heaven knows. When I've learned a truth like this, I know how strong and irresistible it must be. But if you had met me today, tomorrow, yesterday, can even I believe that you would choose a dowerless girl? You who, in your very confidence with her, weigh everything by gain. Or choosing her for a moment, you were false enough to your one guiding principle to do so. Do I not know that your repentance and regret would surely follow? I do, and I release you with a full heart for the love of him you once were. You may, the memory of what is past half makes me hope you will have pain in this, a very, very brief time, and you will dismiss the recollection of it gladly, as an unprofitable dream from which it happened well that you awoke. May you be happy in the life you have chosen, Ebenezer. Farewell.
Belle, Belle, hear me. Let me explain. Spirit, show me no more. Conduct me home. Why do you delight to torture me?
Oh, mortal, what a treasure didst thou cast away. She, whom you resigned for paltry gold, became the happy wife of your former schoolmate, Kemper.
Spirit, remove me from this place.
I told you these were shadows of the things that have been. They are what they are. Do not blame me.
I am to blame for what they are. And now that I see what they might have been, I am more wretched than ever. Remove me! I cannot bear it. Leave me. Take me back. Haunt me no longer.
Oh, come in, come in, and know me better, man. You have never seen the like of me before?
Never.
Have never walked forth with the younger members of my family, meaning, oh, for I'm very young. My elder brother is born in these later years.
I don't think I have. I'm afraid I have not. Have you had many brothers, Spirit?
More than 1,800.
A tremendous family to provide for. Spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night on compulsion and learned a lesson which is working now. Tonight, if you have aught to teach me, let me profit by it.
Oh, ho, ho, touch my robe. And remember, we are invisible and unable to manifest our presence to those with whom we come in contact. Loose not your hold, lest you should lose yourself.
What has ever got into your precious father, then? And your brother, Tiny Tim. And Martha wasn't half as late last Christmas Day by half an hour.
Here's Martha, Mother. Here's Martha. Hurrah! Oh, Martha, there's such a big goose at the baker's next door. I smelt it cooking.
Why, bless your heart alive, my dear. How late you are.
We had a deal of work to finish up last night and had to clear away this morning, Mother.
Well, never mind, so long as you are come. Sit ye down here before the fire, my dear, and have a warm. Oh, bless you.
No, no, there's Father coming. Hark, hide, Martha, hide.
What? Where's our Martha?
Come, Tiny Tim, and see the pudding boil.
She's not coming.
Not coming? Not coming on Christmas Day?
Dear Father, I could not see you disappointed if it were only a joke.
Oh, you're a good girl, Martha, and a great comfort to us all.
And how did little Tim behave?
As good as gold and better. You know, he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much and thinks the strangest things you've ever heard. He told me, coming home, that he hoped people saw him in church because he couldn't walk, and it might be pleasant for them to remember, upon Christmas Day, who made the lame beggars walk. And the blind man see. Tiny Tim is growing strong and hearty.
Hurrah! Hurrah! Here's Peter with the big goose!
Hurrah!
Oh, look at the stuffing!
Hurrah! Well, I don't believe there ever was such a goose as this cooked. It's more tender than a woman's love, and it only costs 2 and 6 pence. A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us. Everyone!
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my race will find him here. What then? If he be like to die, he had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
My very words.
Man, if man you be in heart, not adamant, forbear that wicked cant until you have discovered what the surplus is and where it is. Will you decide what men shall live, what men shall die? It may be in the sight of heaven that you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Your Martha, Belinda, change the plates while I bring the nuts and the apples and the oranges.
Here's what will remind us that it's Christmas. I'll give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed! I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, it's Christmas Day.
Oh, it should be Christmas Day, I'm sure. that one should drink to the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you, poor fellow.
My dear, it's Christmas.
Well, I'll drink to his health for your sake, but and the day's, but not for his. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Spirit, take me away. I see the very mention of my name casts a gloom on what, were it not for me, would be a very happy party.
Wait. They will soon put the memory of you aside and will be 10 times merrier than before. And Tiny Tim will sing.
No, no. Take me hence.
Oh, no, we forgot the pudding!
The pudding! No, the pudding!
Look here. Oh, man, look here. Look. Look down here. Behold, where graceful youth should have filled their features out and touched them with its freshest tints, a stale and shriveled hand, like that of age, has pinched and twisted and pulled them into shreds. Where angels might have sat enthroned, devils lurk and glare out menacing. No change, no degradation, no perversion of humanity in any grade. All the mysteries of wonderful creation has monsters half so horrible and dread.
They are fine-looking children, Spirit. Are they yours?
They are man's, and they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy's ignorance, this girl want. Beware them both, and all of their degree. But most of all, beware this boy. On his brow I see that written, which is doom, unless the writing be erased. Deny it, great city. Slander those who tell it ye. Admit it for your factious purposes. Make it worse, and abide the end.
Have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
My very words again.
Begone! Hideous, wretched creatures. Your habitation should not be in a Christian land. Let us proceed. Time is passing. Oh, and my life is hastening to an end.
Are spirits' lives so short?
My life on this globe is very brief. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight. At midnight. Oh.
Oh, he said Christmas was a humbug, as I live. Oh, he believed it too.
More shame for him, Fred.
Oh, he's a comical old fellow, that's the truth. And not so pleasant as he might be. However, his offenses carry their own punishment, and I have nothing to say against him.
I'm sure he's very rich, Fred, at least you tell me so.
What of that, my dear? His wealth is of no use to him. He don't do any good with it. He don't make himself comfortable with it. He hasn't the satisfaction of thinking that he's ever going to benefit us with it.
I have no patience with him.
Neither have I, for such a stingy old wretch.
Oh, I have. I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims? Himself, always. Here he takes it into his head to dislike us, and he won't come and dine with us. And what's the consequence? He don't lose much of a dinner.
Indeed, I think he loses a very good dinner.
A much better one than he could have served up in his old, dingy chambers.
I was only going to say that the consequence of our uncle taking a dislike to us and not making merry with us is, as I think, that he loses some pleasant moments, which could do him no harm. I'm sure he loses pleasanter companions than he finds in his own thoughts. either in his moldy old office or his dusty chambers. I mean to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not, for I pity him. He may rail at Christmas till he dies, but he can't help thinking better of it. I defy him. If he finds me going there in good temper year after year and saying, Uncle Scrooge, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. If it only puts him in the vein to leave his poor clerk £50, that's something, and I think I shook him yesterday. Come, let us have some music.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, that was brilliant. Oh, but we must not devote the whole evening to music. Suppose we have a game.
Agreed. Agreed.
Time flies. I have grown old. We must hasten on.
No, no. 1/2 hour, spirit. Only one.
I have a new game to propose.
What is it?
It is a game called Yes and No. I am to think of something, and you are all to guess what it is. I am thinking of an animal. A live animal. Rather, a disagreeable animal. A savage animal that growls and grunts sometimes and talks sometimes and lives in London and walks about the streets and is not made a show of and is not led by anybody and don't live in a menagerie and is not a horse, a cow, a donkey, or a bull. There. Now guess.
Is it a pig?
No.
Is it a tiger?
No.
Is it a dog?
No.
Is it a cat?
It's a monkey?
No.
Is it a bear?
No.
I have found it out. I know what it is, but I know what it is.
What is it?
It's your Uncle Scrooge.
Yes.
It's hardly fair. You ought to have said yes when I said it's a bear.
He has given us plenty of merriment, I'm sure, and it would be ungrateful not to drink to his health. Here is some mulled wine ready at our hand at the moment, and when you are ready, I say, Uncle Scrooge.
Well, Uncle Scrooge!
A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man. He wouldn't take it from me, but may he have it nevertheless. Uncle Scrooge!
Uncle Scrooge! Uncle Scrooge!
Can this be the spirit of Christmas future that I see approaching? Shrouded in a black garment which conceals its head, its form, its face, and leaves nothing visible save one outstretched hand. I am in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come. It comes onward with its hand. You are about to show me the shadows of things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Is that so, spirit? Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I have seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, I'm prepared to bear you company, and do it with a thankful heart. Will you not speak to me? It will not speak. The hand points straight before us. Lead on, lead on. The night is waning fast. And it is precious time to me, I know. Lead on, spirit. Ah, here comes Stevens and their Jones. I've always made it a point to stand well in their esteem. That is, in a business point of view.
How are you?
Pretty well. So, old Scratch got his own. At last, eh?
So I'm told. Cold, isn't it?
Seasonable for Christmas time. You're not a skater, I suppose.
No, no. Something else to think of. Good morning.
Ah, here are more of my old business friends. The spirit directs me to hear what they say.
No, I don't know much about it. Either way, I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Why, what was the matter with him? I thought he would never die.
I did not take the trouble to inquire.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Oh, left it to his company, perhaps. He hasn't left it to me. That's all I know. It's likely to be a very cheap funeral, for upon my life, I do not know of
anybody to go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer?
I don't mind going if a lunch is provided. I must be fat if I make one.
I would volunteer, but I have another little matter to attend to that will prevent me. However, I have no objection to joining you in a drink to his memory.
I am with you. Let us adjourn to the punch bowl.
To whom can these allusions refer? Jacob Marley has been dead these 7 years. And surely those whom I have considered my best friends would not speak of my death so unfeelingly. I suppose, however, that these conversations have some link moral for my own improvement. And as I have now resolved upon a change of life, I shall treasure up all I see and hear. Lead on, Shadow. I follow.
You couldn't have met in a better place. Come in. We're all suitable to our calling. We're well matched. Come, come. We are at home here.
What odds, then? What odds, Mrs. Dilber? Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did.
That's true indeed. No man cared for himself more than he did.
Why then don't stand staring as if he was afraid, woman. Who's the wiser? We're not going to pick holes in each other's coats, I suppose.
No, indeed, we should hope not.
Very well, then. That's enough. Who's the worse for the loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
No, indeed.
If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked old screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime? If he had been, he'd have had somebody to look after him when he was struck with death, instead of lying gasping out his last there alone by himself.
It's the truest word ever was spoke. It's a judgment on him.
Open that bundle, old Joe. Let me know the value of it. Speak out plain. I'm not afraid to be the first, nor afraid to let them see it. We knew pretty well that we were helping ourselves before we met here, I believe. It's no sin. Open the bundle, Joe.
Oh, no, we don't mind showing what we have here. Here, Joe, value these.
A seal, 8 shillings. Pencil case, 3 and 6 pence. Pair of sleeve buttons, 5 and 4 pence. Scarf pin, 9 pence. 9 and 4, 13 and 6 is 19. 7, 1 and 5, 6. 13 is 9 and 8 makes 17. That's your account, and I wouldn't give you another 6 pence if I was to be bold for it. Who's next?
I do hope you'll be more liberal with me, Mr. Joe. I'm a poor lone widow. It's hard for me to make a living.
Now undo my bundle, Joe. What do you call this? Bed curtains?
Bed curtains.
You don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with old Scrooge lying there?
Yes, I do. Why not?
You were born to make your fortune, and you'll certainly do it.
I certainly shan't hold my hand when I can get anything in it by reaching it out for the sake of such a man as he was, I promise you, Joe.
Don't drop that oil upon the blanket now.
His blankets?
Whose else's do you think? He isn't likely to take cold without him, I dare say.
I hope he didn't die of anything catching, eh?
Don't you be afraid of that. I ain't so fond of his company that I'd loiter about him for such things if he did. You may look through that shirt till your eyes ache, but you won't find a hole in it nor a threadbare place. It's the best he had, and a fine one, too. They'd have wasted it if it hadn't been for me.
What do you call wasting of it?
Putting it on him to be buried in, to be sure. Somebody was fool enough to do it, but I took it off again. If calico ain't good enough for such a purpose, it isn't good enough for anything. It's as becoming to the body. He can't look uglier than he did in that one. Well, well, I'll ruin myself again. I'll give you 2 guineas for the lot and go to the bankrupt court.
This is the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him when he was alive to profit us when he was dead.
Spirit. I see. This is my own case, if nothing happens to change it. My life tends this way. Spirit, in leaving this, I shall not leave its lesson, trust me. Spirit, it is evident that the only emotion you can show me, caused by the event foreshadowed, is one of pleasure. Let me see some tenderness connected with the death of another, or what has just been shown me will be forever present in my mind.
Thank you.
And you took the child and set him in the midst of them.
Where have I heard those words? I've not dreamed them. Why does he not go on?
The color, it hurts my eyes.
Yes, poor Tiny Tim.
They're better now. It makes them weak by candlelight. And I wouldn't want to show weak eyes to your father when he comes home, not for the world. It must be near his time.
Past it, rather. But I think he has walked a little slower than he used these last few evenings, Mother.
I've known him walk with. I have known him walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed.
And so have I often.
And so have I.
But he was so very light to carry. And you know, his father loved him so. Oh, that it was no trouble. No trouble at all. There is your father at the door.
Hard at work, my dears, hard at work. Why, how industrious you are, and what progress you are making. You'll be done long before Sunday.
Sunday? You went today, then, Robert?
Yes, my dear. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him that I would walk there on a Sunday. My little child. I must tell you of the extraordinary kindness of Mr. Scrooge's nephew. You might scarcely see, but and him meeting me in the street and seeing that I looked only a little down, inquired what had happened to distress me. On which, for he is the pleasantest spoken gentleman you ever heard, I told him, I'm heartily sorry for it, Mr. Cratchit, he said, and heartily sorry for your good wife. By the by, how we ever knew that, I don't know.
Knew what, my dear?
Why, that you were a good wife.
Everybody knows that.
Very well observed, my boy. I hope they do. Anyways, heartily sorry, he said, for your good wife. If I could be of service to you in any way, he said, giving me his card, that's where I live. Pray, come to me. Now, it wasn't for the sake of anything he might be able to do for us, so much as for his own kind way. And it was quite delightful. It really seemed as if he had known our Tiny Tim and felt with us.
I'm sure he is a good soul.
Oh, you would be sure of it, my dear, if you saw it and spoke to him. I shouldn't be at all surprised, just mark my words, if he got Peter a better situation.
Oh, only hear that, Peter?
And then Peter will be keeping company with someone and setting up for himself.
Get along with you.
It's just as likely as not one of these days, though there's plenty of time for that, my dear. And however and whenever we part from one another, I'm sure we shall none of us forget poor Tiny Tim, shall we?
Never, Father.
And I know, my dears, that when we recollect how patient and how mild he was, although he was a little child, we shall not quarrel easily amongst ourselves and forget poor Tiny Tim doing it.
No, never, Father.
And I'm very happy, and I'm very happy. Spirit of Tiny Tim, thy childish essence is from above.
Spirit, hear me. I'm not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been, but for this intercourse. Why have you shown me all that you have, if I am past all hope? Good spirit, your nature intercedes for me and pities me. Assure me that I yet may change the shadows you have shown me by an altered life. Your hand trembles. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me that I may sponge away the shadows of the future. Do not go, I entreat you. It shrinks. It has collapsed. It has dwindled down into an easy chair. Yes, my own chair. My own room, and best, and happiest of all. My own time before me to make amends in. Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this. I say it on my knees, old Jacob, on my knees. They are not torn down. The bed curtains are not torn down, rings and all. They are here. They're there. I'm here. The shadows of the things that would have been may be dispelled. They will be. I know they will. I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody, and a Happy New Year to all the world. Halloo here! Woo! Halloo! There's the saucepan and the gruel that was in it. There's the door by which the ghost of Jacob Marley entered. There's the corner where the ghost of Christmas Past sat. It's all right. It's all true. It all happened. I don't know what day of the month it is. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby. Never mind. I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Hello, hello here. No fog, no mist. Clear, bright, jovial, cold, cold piping for the blood to dance to. Golden sunlight, heavenly sky, sweet fresh air, merry bells. Oh, glorious, glorious. Hey, you boy in your Sunday clothes, what's today?
Hey?
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today, on Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. They can do anything of like. Oh, of course they can. Of course they can. Hello, my fine fellow.
Hello.
Do you know the poulterers in the next street but one at the corner?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize turkey, the great big one.
What, the one as big as me?
What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, my buck.
It's hanging there now.
Is it? Go and buy it.
What do you take me for?
No, no, I'm in earnest. Go and buy it and tell him to bring it here, that I may give them the directions where to take it. Come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you half a crown. That boy's off like a shot. I'll send it to Bob Cratchit's. He shan't know who sent it. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim. I must write the directions for that turkey. Here's the turkey. Hello! Whoop. How are you? Merry Christmas! There's a turkey for you. This bird never could have stood upon his legs. He would have snapped them off short in a minute, like sticks of sealing wax. Here's your half-crown, boy. Now take that monster to Bob Cratchit, Camden Town, and tell him it's a present from his grandmother, who wishes him a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hold on a second. That turkey is way too large for you to carry. Take a cab. Here's the money to pay for it. Why, here comes James Badger and wife, as sure as I live. Good morning!
Good morning, sir. A Merry Christmas to you.
The same to both of you, and many of them.
He seems in a good humor. Go ahead, speak to him about it.
Going to church, eh?
We were going, sir, to hear the Christmas carols, but mindful of the obligation resting upon us, which falls due tomorrow, and of our inability to meet the payment, we have called to beg your indulgence and ask for a further extension of time?
Why, James, how much do you owe me?
£20, sir.
How long since you contracted the debt?
10 years tomorrow, sir?
Then you have already paid me over half the amount in interest, which interest has been compounded, and I have, in fact, received more than the principal. My dear fellow, you owe me nothing. Just consider the debt canceled.
Surely, sir, you cannot mean it?
But I do.
Oh, sir, how can we ever sufficiently manifest our gratitude for such unexpected generosity?
By saying nothing about it. Remember, James and wife, this is Christmas Day, and on this day of all others, we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us.
May heaven reward you, sir. You have lightened our hearts of a heavy burden.
There, there. Go to church.
We shall, sir, and remember our benefactor in our devotions. I can say heartily, a Merry Christmas!
And the happiest of New Year's.
I guess they are glad now that I'm alive, and will be really sorry when I die. Hello, whoop! My dear sir, how do you do? I hope you succeeded yesterday. It was very kind of you. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Mr. Scrooge.
Yes, it is my name, and I fear it may not be pleasant to you. Allow me to ask your pardon. And will you have the goodness?
Lord, bless me. You take my breath away. My dear Mr. Scrooge, are you really serious?
If you please, not a farthing less. A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Will you do me the favor?
My dear sir, I don't know what to say to such munificent...
Don't say anything, please. Come and see me. Will you come and see me?
I will, with great pleasure.
Thank you. I'm much obliged to you. I thank you 50 times. Bless you. Hello, Bob Cratchit. What do you mean by coming here?
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I was not coming. I was only passing, sir, on my way to hear the Christmas carols.
What right have you to be passing here to remind me that it's Christmas?
It's only once a year, sir, and I promise it won't be repeated.
Now, I'll tell you what, my friend. I'm not going to stand this any longer, and therefore I give you permission to pass my house 50 times a day, if you want to. I give you a week's vacation, without any deduction for lost time. I'm about to raise your salary. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I have ever given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family. And I'll be Tiny Tim's godfather. Come along, my good fellow. We'll go to church together and discuss your affairs on the way. Tiny Tim, what do you say to that?
I say, God bless us, everyone.
I would like to say something, sir, but you've deprived me of the power of speech.
Come on, then. We'll talk it over as we go. Come, Tiny Tim, and go with your godfather.
This is the 6th Christmas day of our married life, and each Christmas Eve I have invited Uncle Scrooge to come and dine with us. But he has never yet honored us with his presence, and I suppose he never will.
Fred, may I come in?
Why, bless my soul, who's that?
It's I, your Uncle Scrooge. I've accepted your invitation. Will you let me in?
Let you in? Dear heart alive, why not? Welcome. Welcome, my wife, your niece. Yes, you may.
Never before have I experienced the joys common to this day, and never hereafter, while I am permitted to live, shall I miss them. In the past 24 hours, I have undergone a complete revolution of ideas and desires, and have awakened unto a new life. Instead of a sordid, avaricious old man, I trust you will find a cheerful, liberal Christian, ever ready to extend to his fellow creatures a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Why, Uncle, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. I could dance for joy. You dear old man, you shall ever find a hearty welcome here.
I join with my husband in his earnest congratulations.
Come, let us lose no time. What do you say to a game? Shall it be blind man's bluff?
Agreed.
Come, Uncle Scrooge, the oldest first.
Do with me as you please. It is Christmas Day. Christmas has restored me to a primitive condition, and leaves it to time to test the merits of the happy change. We all have cause to bless Christmas, and it shall always be my delight to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
God bless us, everyone.
Tiny Tim, Mr. Barnes, Snapper, voiced by Scotty Munson. Silver, voiced by Mrs. Badger, Boy with Turkey, voiced by Errol Moradi. Belle and Mrs. Mary, voiced by Chelsea Graves. Martha Cratchit, Mrs. Mabel, voiced by Mary Kate Dolan. Fanny, Julia Kemper, voiced by Kelly Quartermeyer. Mr. Fadgin, James Badger, voiced by Tara Zerwes. Joseph Christmas Pass, Mrs. Cratchit, voiced by Elizabeth Betts. Marley, Mr. Topper, Mr. Redface, voiced by John Carpenter. Mr. Jones, Old Joe, voiced by Gabby Histan Salgado. Mr. Mamali, Mr. Stevens, Mr. Shroud, voiced by Casey Hagedorn. Fred, Peter Cratchit, voiced by Sabrina Gutierrez-Powers. Bob Cratchit, Mr. Snuffer, voiced by Will Wilson. Ebenezer Scrooge, voiced by Danny Nelson. Sound design by Ebenezer Scrooge. Lighting and background design, Kelly Hillman, Nancy Dolan, and Rich Herbach. Costumes by Kelly Quartermeyer and Michaela Miller. Music by Dr. Charles C. Stand. Technicians, Rachel Erba and Taylor Finley. We would like to give a special thanks to Bethy Whalen, Balin Rogers, Kristen Hall, and Dean Swope for their assistance in helping with our production.